Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 223, Chatbots in the Kitchen. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun. I have today for you probably one of the most unique episodes I've ever done. I've been a little bit obsessed, might be too strong a word, but fascinated certainly over the last week or so once I stumbled upon what I'm going to be talking about today. Specifically, we're going to be talking about how artificial intelligence chatbots can be used in the kitchen by home cooks like you and me. It's going to be really, really interesting. I have a very special guest that's going to be on in a few minutes here. But before we get into all that, of course, you know, I've got to do a little bit of housekeeping. First and foremost, the show notes for this episode will be over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/223. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/223. Why do you care about the show notes, you might ask? Well, I'm going to put some links to the things we're talking about today in there. So if you're intrigued by what you hear in this episode, you can head over to the show notes and check out all the interesting things we talk about. I also have links to all my social media in there as well. So if you're interested in checking out the show, full disclosure, not super active on all the social medias. It's just something I'm not very active on. I'll just leave it at that. But there are links for all of those. There's lots of other cool people that are active on the social medias. So go check those out. You can also find a link to the Nitty Grits Podcasts, which is a network out of the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. Head over to southernfood.org, find out what the museum's up to, and then head over to the section titled Blogs and Podcasts. The Nitty Grits Podcasts are a collection of shows about food, culture, and drink. Yours truly and the Kitchen Counter Podcast is one of the shows on that network and proud to be, but head over to southernfood.org down by the Southern Food and Beverage Museum down there in New Orleans, Louisiana. Check out what they've got going on. Yeah, let's leave that for the housekeeping for now because I want to get into this topic today. Like I mentioned, I do have a guest coming on, you could say, in a few minutes. Before I get there, though, I want to give a little background of why I'm talking about this. Now, the title of the show is Chatbots in the Kitchen. Now, unless you've lived under a rock, and I guess you don't live under a rock because you're listening to podcasts, right? How out in the sticks could you possibly be? If you haven't been living under a rock for the past few months, you've undoubtedly heard about the recent boom, the recent explosion of artificial intelligence, specifically, well, a couple actually. There's image generating, where you can put in a prompt and it'll generate a picture for you. Those sorts of artificial intelligence. Today, we're going to be talking about one of the more well-known ones that are really popular right now called ChatGPT. It's a text-based generative language model, artificial intelligence chatbot. What does that mean? You go to this website for ChatGPT, and you type in a question, or you have a conversation, actually, and it will have a conversation back with you. It's not a person. It's not just a terrible. It's not like one of those old chat bots where you put something in, it couldn't understand what you were asking it. It's like, I don't know what you're saying. You can put virtually anything in and talk to this chat bot, and it will talk back to you. It's quite fascinating. We're going to be focusing on that one a little bit today. But I have to tell you, if you go to the show notes and look at the show art for this episode, I actually, just to keep in the theme, I actually used a whole other AI tool to generate the image for this episode. I went to the Midjourney tool, which is a image generator, and I simply told it to generate an image of chatbots in the kitchen sharing cooking tips. And I'm not going to describe what the image looks like. You should go look at it. It's really quite remarkable. I was kind of amazed when, just with that simple prompt, it spit this image out. So I thought, I have to use that for the show artwork. So again, head over to the show notes, kitchencounterpodcast.com/223, and you'll see what this artificial intelligence image generator made for me literally in seconds. Quite remarkable. Anyway, the ChatGPT thing, you're probably one of three people. You either have no idea what I'm talking about, or you know what I'm talking about and are excited to hear this, or you know what I'm talking about and you're like, please, I don't want to hear any more about these chatbot things. And I thought the same when it first came out. I thought it was interesting. I logged into it and I played around with it, you know, made it tell me jokes and stories. And I've actually used it for a few other creative things just to help sort of brainstorm. It's really quite fascinating. But then I stumbled across a blog post somewhere, I think, where somebody mentioned that they use ChatGPT to help with their meal planning. It actually can help you set up weekly menus. It can take into account your dietary restrictions, things like that. And it had never occurred to me that you could use a chatbot like ChatGPT for anything cooking related. It just didn't cross my mind. And I stumbled across this a few days ago. And so I logged into it and I started playing around with it. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And I wanted to do an episode because it's a tool. The ChatGPT is a tool just like many of the other tools in the home cook's toolbox, right? And I wanted to do an episode on how possibly could I talk about ChatGPT and share with you a little bit about what some of the things you might want to try when you get in the kitchen. Is it a useful tool? Is it any better than just Googling something? That sort of a thing. So I wanted to focus this episode on it. I think it's fascinating technology. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. If you think back in the history of cooking, and it's a long history, by the way. So let's just say if you think back to the beginning of maybe colonial era America, I'm in the United States, so that's my frame of reference. Sorry if you're not in the U.S., but, you know, mid-1700s, late 1700s, colonial era America. And if you just think about the big things that have happened since then to the present time that have really had a major impact in the way people cook, I'm no scholar on this subject, but I can think of probably three major things, and these are sort of broad categories, right? So one is probably when people stopped cooking over an open fire, over hearths, and they were able to get things like ovens in their houses. Trust me, if we were all still cooking over open fires, nobody would be interested in cooking, okay? It would not be the popular topic it is today. It would be brutal, hard, dangerous work. So that was one thing that really impacted the way home cooks do what they do. And then probably the industrialization of the food system, you know, like frozen foods and supermarkets. And, you know, it's really quite remarkable. You can walk into virtually a grocery store anywhere in the country and get any fruit or vegetable you want any time of year from practically any part of the world. And that's pretty remarkable. And of course, that all had a big impact on the way people cooked and consumed food. And then maybe 3A and 3B would be like food, the prevalence and the availability of food media. I don't know that things like the Cooking Channel really upended and were a major disruptor or a revolution in home cooking, but I think the internet was, certainly. Now not only can you find any type of ingredient you want anywhere, anytime, you can find literally any bit of information about food or cooking whenever you want on the internet. So this chat bot in the kitchen thing is sort of, I guess, probably not the next big revolution in home cooking, but it certainly dovetails into the internet and the food media portion of it. I don't think it's quite as disruptive or mind-blowing as those other things I mentioned, but it could be someday. It's really interesting technology. So what I decided to do today, rather than ramble on and talk about what ChatGPT is and try to give you some tips for using it in the kitchen, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to invite ChatGPT onto the podcast. And so that's my special guest today. I actually have a chat bot on the podcast today. Now, if you've listened to me this far into the show, that could be a moment where I totally lost you. And you're like, Roger, you're crazy. maybe I am. But these generative text language learning models like this ChatGPT, I know I'm talking gobbledygook to some people, but just go with me on this. They're so good at mimicking human conversation that I thought it would just be fun, rather than try to explain it third hand, I would just go right to the source, and I would not only ask ChatGPT how it could be useful to home cooks, but also test it out a little bit, ask it some various cooking and food-related questions. So what you're going to hear in a moment is a conversation, I guess you could call it a conversation. It's a conversation between myself and the ChatGPT chatbot. Now, it's text. I mentioned that earlier. So when you go to the website, and again, the links will be in the show notes if you've not already been there, it's all text-based. So you type in a text question or a statement or whatever, and it will respond with text. Now, obviously, this is an audio podcast, and that wouldn't be very fun. So I was thinking about how I could do this. And my first thought was that I could just read my questions, and then I could read its responses. But then I thought that could be kind of monotonous, and it would just be me talking a lot, you know, on and on and on and on. So what I've done instead is I went through and I had a conversation with the chat bot, and then I will be reading my questions and my comments as I did when I typed them in. I actually used a text to speech, so I actually spoke them in. And I took all of its text responses to me, and I put them through a text-to-voice generator to give it a voice. So what you're going to hear is me having a conversation with ChatGPT. That's not really what it sounds like. If it gets some pronunciations wrong, don't hold it against it, because it's just a text-to-speech program that I ran it through. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of, in your own head, through your own ears, hear what this conversation sounds like. Now, a couple of caveats and disclaimers. I know this is not a real person, but I wanted to approach this somewhat like a real conversation, because I think it's kind of interesting to see how this chatbot interacts with people. And what you're hearing is the actual conversation. I have not edited it in any way. I have not cut out any responses. I have not changed any questions or responses. You will be hearing it exactly how it transpired between me and the chatbot, only, of course, via text. And it's very quick. It doesn't take long to generate responses. So even the timing that you're hearing this in is about the rate at which the conversation happened. So I went into it with a few ideas of what I wanted to talk about. I changed up some of the questions I was going to ask it based on some of the responses it gave me. We conversed. It's so weird to say that, because I know it's a machine. We conversed for maybe 12 minutes or so. So this is a really long segment, but I think you might want to listen to it to check it out. There's obviously a million things I could have asked it about food and cooking, but I just wanted to give you a flavor for some of the things that this chatbot could be useful for. I know most people probably don't wait to the end to hear my comments, so I'm just going to give you a couple of my thoughts now, and then we'll jump into the interview, or the conversation, if you will. I think some of the info it gave me might not have been perfectly accurate, or in one case it gave me a recipe, and as I listened to it, and then again, as I went back through and sort of reread it preparing for this episode, I thought, yeah, that would probably work. It might not be the way I would do it. So I think in like the actual, you know, recipe generation, it might not be the strongest, and maybe if finding a trusted source of recipes is still the way to go. But I'll tell you what I do love about it. It is really good, really exceptional at giving you ideas that you can take and build upon. I mentioned earlier for non-podcast, non-cooking things, for example, my wife is involved. She's an author, or an aspiring author, an aspiring mystery author. And she's involved with a group that's putting on a charity auction. And she was like involved in the auction committee. She's like, man, I need to think of a cool name for the auction. And so we were kind of talking about it. I said, well, let's put it into ChatGPT and see what it says. It spit out some really cool ideas for names for this auction. Like, you know, probably out of 20 ideas it gave us, there were like two or three that were like really, really good that I would never have thought of. So it's really good at things like that. So I think for a home cook, it's great for giving you ideas if you're in a rut. I think it's great for helping you meal plan. You can actually tell it, hey, I need breakfast for a week. I can't eat eggs or dairy, and I need everything to be, you know, ready in 10 minutes. And it will give you a list of ideas. It's really cool in that regard. Anyway, all that said, you could spend a lot of time goofing around with this thing, and I encourage you to go check it out. I think it is quite fascinating. But let's jump into this quote-unquote conversation I had with ChatGPT, and then you can see maybe some of the potential or not for how artificial intelligence chatbots might be useful in your kitchen. All right, without further ado, here it is, my conversation with ChatGPT. Hello, can I ask you some questions for my cooking podcast? I want to share with my audience some ideas for how they might be able to use an AI chatbot like ChatGPT to help them in the kitchen.
Of course. I'd be happy to help with your cooking podcast. What specific questions do you have about using an AI chatbot in the kitchen?
Well, before we get to that, how should I introduce you to my audience? Some of them might have no idea what an AI chatbot is or how it works. Can you help explain?
Sure. An AI chatbot is a computer program that can simulate conversation with human users. AI chatbots like ChatGPT are powered by natural language processing, NLP, and machine learning algorithms, which enable them to understand and respond to human input in a way that mimics human conversation. They can be used in a variety of contexts, including customer service, online shopping, and even cooking. In the context of cooking, a chatbot like ChatGPT can help users find recipes, answer cooking-related questions, and even make suggestions for ingredient substitutions.
That is really interesting. Tell me, though, how doing those things is any easier using an AI chatbot instead of, say, Googling them?
There are a few key advantages to using an AI chatbot for cooking-related tasks, as opposed to simply searching the internet. First, an AI chatbot can understand natural language input, which means that users can ask questions or give commands in a way that feels more like a conversation than a traditional search. For example, instead of typing chicken Alfredo recipe into a search engine, a user could ask a chatbot, "Can you give me a recipe for chicken Alfredo?" Second, an AI chatbot can provide more personalized and accurate results than a search engine. For example, if a user specifies that they have dietary restrictions, an AI chatbot can take that into account when providing recipe suggestions. Third, an AI chatbot can provide helpful suggestions and tips beyond just providing a recipe, such as ingredient substitutions or cooking techniques. Finally, an AI chatbot can be integrated with other systems and devices, such as smart ovens or recipe storage apps, to provide a more seamless and efficient cooking experience.
Okay, I want to ask you some questions related specifically to cooking, the kitchen, ingredients, etc. First, you say that you can suggest recipes based on dietary restrictions. So if I told you that I wanted to make a cheesecake, but I'm allergic to dairy, you could find a recipe for me?
Yes, I can help you find a recipe for a cheesecake that does not contain dairy. There are a variety of ways to make cheesecake without using traditional dairy ingredients, such as using almond milk, coconut milk, or tofu as a substitute for cream cheese. I could also suggest some recipe that use non-dairy alternatives like cashew cheese or vegan cream cheese. I could even help you find recipes that use specific non-dairy milk or cheese alternatives if you have a preference. Keep in mind that depending on the specific recipe and ingredients, the final outcome of the cheesecake might not be exactly the same as a traditional dairy cheesecake, but it can be a delicious alternative.
Interesting. Okay, here's another one. I love risotto, but I get tired of making risotto a la Milanese all the time. Can you give me three or four other ideas for risotto?
Sure. Here are a few ideas for different types of risotto. Risotto a la primavera. This dish is made with a variety of fresh vegetables, such as asparagus, peas, and bell peppers. It's a great way to enjoy the flavors of spring. Risotto al funghi. This dish is made with mushrooms, which can be sautéed with shallots and garlic, and then added to the risotto. You can use any kind of mushroom you prefer, like porcini, shiitake, or cremini. Risotto al nero di seppia. This dish is made with cuttlefish ink, which gives the risotto a unique and dramatic black color. It's typically paired with seafood, such as shrimp or scallops. Risotto alla zucca. This dish is made with pumpkin or squash, which is roasted and pureed before being added to the risotto. It's a great way to enjoy the flavors of fall. You can always add other ingredients to the basic risotto recipe to change the flavor, like proteins like chicken, beef, seafood, or even some fruits like berries, apples, or pineapples. The possibilities are endless.
Wow. Okay, so you could right now give me an actual recipe for risotto alla primavera.
Sure. Here's a recipe for risotto alla primavera. Ingredients: 2 tablespoons olive oil, 1 small onion, finely chopped, 2 cloves of garlic, minced, 1 cup arborio rice, 3 cups vegetable broth, 1/2 cup white wine, 1 cup of frozen peas, 1 cup of asparagus, cut into small pieces, 1/2 cup grated Parmesan cheese, salt and pepper to taste. Instructions: in a large saucepan, heat the olive oil over medium heat. Add the onion and garlic and sauté until the onion is translucent, about 5 minutes. Add the rice and stir to coat it with the oil. Cook for 2 minutes, or until the rice becomes translucent. Stir in the vegetable broth and white wine and bring to a simmer. Reduce the heat to low and let the risotto simmer for about 18 minutes, or until most of the liquid has been absorbed and the rice is tender. Stir in the peas, asparagus, and grated Parmesan cheese and cook for another 2 to 3 minutes, or until the vegetables are tender. Season with salt and pepper to taste and serve. You can add or remove ingredients depending on what you have available or what you like, and also adjust the amount of broth and cheese to your liking.
Do you have any wine pairing recommendations?
Certainly. When it comes to wine pairing, a good rule of thumb is to match the weight and texture of the wine with the weight and texture of the dish. For risotto alla primavera, a dish with a creamy texture, a white wine with similar texture would be a good choice. I recommend a dry white wine with good acidity and a medium body, such as a Sauvignon Blanc or a Pinot Grigio. These types of wines will complement the creamy texture of the risotto and the freshness of the vegetables. Another alternative could be a dry or off-dry Riesling, which could bring a nice balance of sweetness and acidity to the dish, or a Vermentino, which is a wine that can have citrus and floral notes that will work well with the vegetables. Keep in mind that pairing wine and food is a matter of personal taste, so you should always feel free to experiment and find what works best for you.
Okay, how about a substitution question? I'm baking a cake and it calls for baking powder. I don't have any baking powder, so what else could I use?
If you don't have baking powder, there are a few substitutions that you can use to achieve a similar rising effect in your cake. Cream of tartar and baking soda. Mix 2 parts cream of tartar to 1 part baking soda. This will give you the equivalent of 1 teaspoon of baking powder. For example, if the recipe calls for 1 teaspoon of baking powder, you can use 2 teaspoons of cream of tartar and 1 teaspoon of baking soda. Self-rising flour. If you have self-rising flour on hand, you can use it as a substitute for all-purpose flour and baking powder. Keep in mind that if you use self-rising flour, you will need to decrease the amount of baking powder and salt in the recipe. Buttermilk or yogurt. If you have buttermilk or yogurt, you can add 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda for every cup of liquid. This will give you a similar rising effect as baking powder. Keep in mind that these substitutions might affect the final outcome of your recipe, especially the texture of your cake.
What is baking powder anyway? Can you explain to me how it works like I'm a 10-year-old?
Sure. Baking powder is a powder that helps things like cakes and cookies rise and become fluffy. Imagine you're blowing up a balloon. Baking powder is like the air that goes into the balloon to make it bigger. Baking powder is made of three things: baking soda, an acid, and a moisture absorber. When you mix baking powder with wet ingredients, the baking soda and the acid start to react with each other, just like when you blow air into a balloon. This reaction creates tiny bubbles of air. These bubbles get trapped in the batter and make the cake or cookie puff up and rise. This happens in the oven when the batter gets hot and the bubbles in the batter expand and make the cake rise. The moisture absorber is there to make sure that the baking powder stays fresh and works properly even if the ingredients are stored for a while. So, when you use baking powder in your recipe, you are adding a combination of ingredients that will help your batter rise and become fluffy, making your cakes and cookies look and taste better.
Is there any cooking question to which you don't have an answer?
As a language model AI, I have been trained on a large dataset of text and I have access to a wide range of information on various subjects, including cooking. However, my knowledge is based on the data that was available at the time of my training, and there may be some cooking-related questions or techniques that I am not familiar with. Additionally, my understanding of the text is based on patterns it has seen during training, and my answers may not always be entirely accurate or appropriate. It's also important to mention that cooking is a very broad field, and there's always something new to learn, new techniques, new ingredients, etc. So, while I will do my best to provide accurate and helpful information, it's always a good idea to consult multiple sources and to use your own judgment when cooking.
Okay, I just have a couple more questions for you.
Of course, I'll be happy to help with any additional questions you have.
Can you tell me a funny cooking joke?
Sure, here's a cooking joke for you. Why did the tomato turn red? Because it saw the salad dressing.
I must say, I am impressed with your ability to talk food and cooking. I mean, it's almost like talking to a real person. Not quite, but almost.
Thank you for the compliment. As an AI model, I am trained to understand and respond to a wide range of topics, including cooking and food. My goal is to provide helpful and accurate information, but I am not a human, so there may be some nuances or subtleties that I am not able to fully understand or replicate. But I am always happy to assist you with any cooking questions or information you may need.
If you could give one piece of advice to the home cooks listening today, what would it be?
One piece of advice I would give to home cooks is to not be afraid to experiment and make mistakes in the kitchen. Cooking is a creative process, and sometimes the best recipes and dishes come from trying new things and stepping out of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid to try new ingredients, techniques, or recipes, and don't be discouraged if something doesn't turn out the way you expected. Instead, use your mistakes as learning opportunities, and you'll be surprised at how much you can improve and how much you will enjoy the process.
Well, I couldn't have said that better myself. Thank you for taking the time to answer my questions.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could help. Let me know if you have any other questions or need further assistance. Cooking is a wonderful and creative process, and I am always happy to help in any way I can.
Well, what did you think of that? That was interesting, wasn't it? I hope that format worked out. I think it worked to illustrate kind of my conversation with this chatbot. It is very interesting. And as I mentioned before we jumped into it, yes, some of its specifics might be a little shaky in some cases, like with the recipe, but there is a lot of potential here. I think there's a lot of ways to be creative in the kitchen. Of course, it can do, you know, it can help you in every aspect of your, you know, creative endeavors or whatever, planning, things like that. But in the kitchen, I had not, like I said, really thought about how this could be useful or even remotely interesting until I read a blog post that somebody used it for meal planning. So ChatGPT, I'll put the links in the show notes. I hope you go check it out and play around with it. If you do figure out some interesting use for it in the food, cooking, kitchen realm, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to see what your experiences are with it. And I'd love to find out what you think like this kind of technology can mean long term. You can send an email over to feedback@KitchenCounterPodcast. I would love to hear it. Yeah, we'll be back to our regularly intermittent episodes that don't feature robots in the future. And whether or not you're using artificial intelligence, I hope you find yourself in the kitchen soon having a good time cooking or baking up something delicious. Don't forget to head over to the show notes at kitchencounterpodcast.com/223 for the links to ChatGPT and a couple other things in there. Also, southernfood.org to head over to the website for the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, where you can find the Nitty Grits Network, which is a network of podcasts about food, drink, and culture. Good stuff there. Good people, too. All right. Well, until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.